Welcome back to Eichenbaum Acorns. I'm David Eichenbaum from Retina Vitreous Associates of Florida, and this is the show where we don't talk about data or pipeline or practice patterns or any of that hard science sort of stuff, even though it comes up once in a while. This is the show where we talk about people. What makes Retina wonderful is the people, and I have one of those wonderful people here on the program with me today to talk about his exciting and very differentiated career. This is Dr. David Tanzer, currently with Lexitas. Can you say hi and do a quick intro, David?
Yeah, hi, David. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm David Tanzer, currently the Chief Medical Officer for Lexitas Pharma Services, and it's an absolute honor to be with you here today, David.
A lot of our listeners have never heard of Lexitas Pharma Services or pharmaceutical services as a field. Tell me, like I'm three, what does Lexitas do?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So Lexitas Pharma Services is a CRO, a contract research organization. And what that really means to a three-year-old is that we help companies develop the latest therapeutic technologies for patients. Both know that ophthalmology is an amazing space to be in as a physician, as a surgeon, as a clinical trialist, but there is a lot of unmet need that patients have. And we try our best, whether we're an anterior or posterior segment surgeon, we try our best to save vision in these patients.
I like that. We're here to talk about you and your career. You are an ophthalmologist, and not just an ophthalmologist, you're an Air Force pilot, I think I remember, correct?
Close. I was neither in the Air Force nor a pilot. I was a Navy flight surgeon, and I
I
was
was
a little
close.
detailed.
I got
You're very close.
the flying and the fighter jets right, but you were the
Something like that.
Navy. Yeah.
Yes. I was in the front seat for a very short amount of time, but most of my flight experience, especially in the fun stuff, was in the back seat.
What was the plane you were? What did you fly front seat?
The T-34 Charlie in the Navy, one of the reasons I joined the Navy, and there were so many, but one of the reasons was as a Navy flight surgeon back in the good old days, if you were qualified, you could actually fly in the front seat as pilot in command of the first airplane that all naval aviators start their career in. Back then, it was the T-34 Charlie. It was an airplane with a jet engine attached to a propeller. And I was able to solo that bad boy in 3 weeks and had a good time doing
Wow.
it.
But you did that, and then you went into ophthalmology. And how tell me what that path was like.
I did. Yeah. So when I was a fourth year medical student at Georgetown, I knew I wanted to be a Navy flight surgeon. I knew I was headed in that direction. And I knew that, you know what? Eyes are really important to pilots. And we don't get a whole lot of exposure in medical school to ophthalmology unless you really want it. So I went out and did a 4 week rotation in San Diego, and I fell in love with the specialty. You have to use a condensing lens to see the retina. You can't see a whole lot through that indirect ophthalmoscope, as we all know. It's a secret, but we all know it. So you dilate the eye, you hold up a 20 diopter or 78 diopter lens, and you see this thing, and it's beautiful retina, macula in 3 dimensions. And oh my gosh, that was amazing.
We had vibe with that because that was my realization too. I had no idea I wanted to do ophthalmology.
Yeah.
And then I did ophthalmology. Yeah.
And then the level of precision that's required to do surgery, whether it's in the front of the eye or back of the eye, it's for OCDs like us, you would gravitate toward. And then cradle to grave, you can be a pediatric ophthalmologist, you can be somebody who takes care of the older folks with glaucoma or retina or whatever. And for me, I gravitated toward the anterior segment, which we can talk about. I like that immediate gratification.
You went into ophthalmology, you found it beautiful, it wasn't the plan, and then you practiced, correct?
I did. Yeah. So I was fortunate to do my residency in San Diego. Went right out of residency into fellowship. I did my fellowship at USC. Then when the Doheny Eye Institute was affiliated with USC, now they've gone their separate ways, but did a year fellowship in cornea transplantation, cataract and refractive surgery, and then went right back to San Diego and spent the next 13 years being a staff physician and surgeon and a clinical trialist. And we could talk about that if you like. Here's in the Navy to finish out a 21-year career in the Navy. And I retired in 2021 as a Navy captain after 21 years of service. And then I went into private practice here in San Diego. Yeah.
And shortly after that is when I met you. And this is where it gets
Yes.
interesting because I met you, I think, in 22 or so when you CMO for Ocutera.
I was.
So how did you transition? Because you were a military clinician, that you did some
Yes.
clinical trial work, you liked the
Yes.
anterior segment,
Yes.
did some private practice, and
Yes.
simultaneously you must have gone into industry because you were an executive when I met you.
I was, David. Yeah, thanks for asking. So in 2013, I was given an offer I couldn't refuse by then the CEO of Abbott Medical Optics, now Johnson and Johnson Vision, and that's Jim Mazzo. If anybody knows anybody in ophthalmology, Jim is like the godfather. He knows whether you're an anterior or posterior segment, everybody knows Jim. I was a clinical trialist for AMO and a number of other companies. So that's how I got my industry relationship experience starting when I was in practice. But Jim made me an offer I couldn't refuse because he needed a CMO. And I left my clinical practice. This is actually back in 2013. And I joined Abbott Medical Optics, now J&J Vision, as their first CMO. And I went from there after 5 years to Novartis Pharmaceuticals. I was the lead medic for the finalization of brolucizumab, or now Beovu. Mm-hmm. And was with that company for about 4 years. And we can talk about the trials and tribulations of brolucizumab. But it got me started in the retina space as an industry representative.
And now, after that, you transitioned to where you are today at Lexitas.
I did. So Lexitas, not that this is a plug for Lexitas, but they were our first CRO for our phase one first in human studies at Ocutera. So I got to know Lexitas really intimately through my time as CMO with Ocutera. And when I left Ocutera, because we did have to close the company, we were a single asset company, VC backed, and we couldn't take that forward, I was quickly brought on Lexitas as their chief medical officer, and I've been with the company now about 18 months.
What I think people can hear from our conversation is there is a lot that moves around and happens to make innovation possible in retina. And there are a lot of great people involved with that, a lot of whom start their life as clinicians. You know, Dave, was your CEO at AMO a clinician, or was he a business guy?
CEO at AMO was a business guy, pure commercial. Yeah.
So it's a mix. There's a mix of people. And there's this whole community in that overlaps with the clinical community. And that's one of the things that I really love, is being able to have friends in kind of both sides of those communities. It makes things so varied and so interesting. Do you still see patients, David, or have you stopped?
Only when you're kind enough to let me see a patient with you and I see you in practice. That was amazing. I appreciate that opportunity, but not routinely.
When did you stop practicing as a clinician?
So the biggest acquiescence to joining industry back when I made the transition was to Abbott's laboratories. They forbade me from seeing patients, taking primary responsibility for patient care. I had to give that up primarily, but I could see them as a consultant, but not primary care. So I gave it up in 2013.
So what do you miss about patient care? Do you miss patient care? Some people do, some people don't.
The patient care, the seeing patients, doing the surgeries, immediate gratification, especially where I lived in the anterior segment space, absolutely miss that. Don't miss the bureaucracy, the insurance stuff, coding and all that. Not so much, but I miss seeing.
And that's something I hope I never have to give up, even though a greater proportion of my time is spent doing non-clinical things. I still spend a lot of time doing clinical things. I hope to not give that up. I think just for our young listeners who might be interested in it, we have a lot of younger listeners who might be pursuing something other than pure clinical medicine. I think, and tell me if I'm right, I think today you can still see patients in most industry roles.
Absolutely. It was a spectrum back when I joined, so 13 years ago, it was the bigger strategics really wanted there not to be any conflicts of interest or any medical legal liabilities that they might take on. So that was, I think, a short-lived cycle. Now, I think the more forward-thinking companies are allowing their CEOs or CMOs, CSOs, CDOs to maintain clinical practice part-time with full disclosure, of course. And I think that's the smarter way to go, because you maintain your clinical credibility, you maintain seeing patients, I think, is first and foremost most important for what we do. And it gives you that perspective when you bring it into the boardroom, because you are the voice of the patient. You are the voice of the physician, practicing physician, when you're making these decisions at the board level.
So what advice could you give a young doctor who wants to have a career that's more than just purely clinical? What would you tell a new graduate, their first job, they're an employee or they're at a university, an associate or an assistant professor even? What would you tell that person about first steps to try to vary their career or add dynamism to it?
Yeah, great question. I was actually an invited speaker at University of North Carolina a couple of months back and talking to a bunch of medical students about this very thing. And voice of experience, if you will, that I imparted to them was, number one, have an intellectual curiosity. Want to not just take it at face value, but go a little bit deeper into the what's and the whys and the hows. So have that intellectual curiosity. Get yourself involved in research as an associate, whatever. Get involved in programs. It doesn't really matter what you're doing, but get involved in the research process. Publications are awesome if you can get one or two or more. That helps as well. But have that intellectual curiosity and get yourself involved in research.
And then even from the ground up, my first clinical trial was an investigator-initiated trial where I did the budget, I did the protocol, I did the coordination. I tell folks, and this might be what you're saying, is you got to learn how to swab the deck if you want to eventually be captain of the ship. You got to do it.
Great. I love that Navy analogy. Very good. I appreciate that coming back full circle. You're like a comedian. You bring it back full circle. Well done, sir.
I like it.
But yeah,
because everyone wants to be on the bridge, but you can't get on the boat and go straight to the bridge.
Oh, exactly. You got to pay your dues. Got to pay your dues.
So who's the person that young doctor needs to talk to? Who do they need to find?
Yeah, I think probably it's someone like me, the CMO, CDO. So chief medical officer, chief development officer, chief science officer. You can talk doc to doc about your ideas, and they will take that and they'll understand it. And they'll say, yeah, that aligns with our commercial strategy. Then they can take that to the commercial team and see if there's funding for it. And then that can loop full circle back.
And for our listeners, these C-suite roles sound intimidating to a new MD. They certainly sounded intimidating to me when I first came out. But these are folks who are clinicians, and they are at the American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting. They are at the American Society of Retina Specialists meeting. They want to meet you. This is not a burden for them. It is their desire to meet young clinicians who have the intellectual curiosity and the drive, I think.
100%. One of the biggest drawbacks, if you will, in my role now is I no longer am able to sit in the lecture halls and listen to you and your colleagues doing the presentations from the podium, because my job now really is to be a face of the company and having these conversations with people who have aspirations to be in industry or to do studies.
So I think this is a great way to wrap up our conversation. So David's had an incredible career, done many things from clinical work through drug development work, through executive work, both at the pharma level and now at the contract research organization or kind of steering level to get innovation actually from pharmaceutical company into the clinic. It's the bridge. And now our listeners, you know the playbook. If you want to do this, you can find David, or you can find the CMO or the CSO or the CDO of Genentech or Regeneron or a smaller company like Olin or like a single product company like Acutera. I'm sure you loved meeting doctors when you were at Acutera. And this is how you do this if you want to do this. And it's not for everybody. I have a lot of friends who are very happy and very successful and have great careers as pure clinicians. My senior partner just retired after 41 years as a pure clinician. He had a great career, but it's not the career that I want and not the career that you wanted. And one of the most important things I want to bring people and Eichenbaum Acorns is the perspective from the people who make retina tick that you can do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. And in a way, you can give back to the community that we love so much by doing these clinical trials, by having that intellectual curiosity and involving yourself in the process, for sure.
All I need is a ride in that T-34. I'll take the back seat.
It'd be fun. I miss that.
Thank you for coming on, David. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure, David. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.